Okay, welcome to the Cabazon Water District regular board meeting for February 20th, 2024. Stand for the pledge. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Moment of silence.
Roll call. Director Melissa Carlin.
Here.
Director Taffy Brock.
Here.
Director Alan Davis.
Here.
Director Terry Tincher.
Here.
And Director Sarah Wargo is absent. General Manager Michael Pollock.
Here.
Okay, we have approval for the Finance and Audit Committee meeting minutes and warrants of January 16, 2024, and also the regular board meeting minutes and warrants of January 16, 2024.
I make a motion to approve Finance and Audit Committee meeting minutes and warrants and regular board meeting, both on January 26, 2024.
I'll second. All right, so, oh, and really quick, I did change the signature line into Director Tincher's name since Director Wargo's not here, but I didn't change any of the contents of the minutes. Motion to approve consent calendar items A and B, made by Director Davis and second by Director Brock. Director Carlin?
Aye.
Director Brock?
Aye.
Director Davis?
Aye.
Director Tincher?
Aye.
And Director Wargo is absent. Okay.
Okay, updates. Operations Manager.
Okay, I have a few updates. So for our Cabazon Water District tour that's scheduled for this Thursday at 2 o'clock, weather may not be as wonderful as we'd wanted to. Do you want to postpone it for, I mean, the sites are ready, but it's a little muddy out there and it may still be cold and drizzly, so it's up to you if you want to postpone that. You're fine?
Fine with the postponement or going forward?
I'm fine with going with it, so. Okay. All right, we'll leave it as is then. And you said you wanted to attend?
I'd like to, but I'm going to be out.
Okay, no problem. All right.
Urban water management meeting in the desert. So.
Okay.
Well, what's more important?
This.
Good answer.
All right. Well, we'll confirm that we're going to meet here at the office at 2 o'clock on Thursday, and I'll take you around and show you all of our wonderful plan sites.
If you could, possibly, maybe down the road, maybe Kevin and I could go with
sure.
you.
Sure.
He takes that and goes around.
Okay, yeah, I took Kevin to the Tank 3 and Tank 1 sites for the hydrogen.
Yeah, we'll find out what a good day for him is, and
we'll
go from there.
Okay, yeah, let me know.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, all right. And then the update for the Bonita Vault, Old Castle Vault, is being engineered, and that's going to cost approximately $25,900. The clay valves, the 4-inch and the 8-inch, were purchased and delivered, so we have those in inventory. So once the vault is actually built and delivered, then we will have the property surveyed, and that cost will be $2,800. And I recently had an infrastructure meeting. There were several lead managers and dignitaries from the water industry that met with Senator Ochoa Bogue on Friday, January 26th. So there was a discussion on aging infrastructure and what they need, what the state can do to help us move along, what we need and everything. So one of the questions is, what do you see as a major investment the state needs to make in regard to aging infrastructure? And based on small water districts, it's usually pipeline replacements, reservoir maintenance, and hydrant installations, which hydrant installations, for some reason, don't fall under the category of being grant funded when it, in my opinion, it should be, because it's for fire protection and also for water quality, because that's where we do our dead-end flushing. But for some reason, that would not be fall under the category of a grant funded project. Next question they asked is, what has the state done that has been helpful in overcoming aging infrastructure? And we've been very fortunate that we did have a couple of grant funded projects that were completed. One was the 105 gate valves, isolation valves that were installed throughout the system. So that helps with limiting the amount of customers that are affected during emergency or scheduled shutdowns for main replacements or repairs. So that was very helpful. They did give us another grant funding for reservoir maintenance. They did replace some of our aging trusses in one of our reservoirs that were rusting, and you want to prolong the life of your assets, so that project was completed, so that was very helpful. And what has the state done that has negatively impacted your ability to overcome difficult aging infrastructures? So there was a couple of items. Increasing costs. So when they postpone projects, every year the costs increase. So it costs the district more, and also the lack of additional water supplies, rising energy costs is another thing. So and then one of the things that is very important is progressive, stricter water standards endorsed by both the state and federal governments. There's a lot of new water standards that are coming up that may need treatment, and treatment facilities are not cheap. So, because the new technology used to read in parts per million, now it reads in parts per billion, and it also can see parts per trillion. And if you can see it, now you're liable for it. So they're trying to determine what the limits are that we would have to do treatment facilities for. So that's coming in the very near future. So that would raise the operating costs for water districts. So I did bring that to their attention. What issues do you foresee that could impact aging infrastructure in the future? The main thing is what they call the silver tsunami, is all these seasoned veterans are going to be leaving soon with all their certificates and everything like that, and with all the knowledge and all experience, and the new people are going to be coming in, and they're just going to have to figure things out. We're trying to leave programs behind so they can have a better understanding of the operational needs and all the little nuances that aren't really on a set of engineered plans. So that will help, but the baby boomers are going to be leaving en masse. So that's one of the biggest challenges coming for most utilities and most businesses.
For everybody.
Yeah. And they also, and then there was some public comments about security, about terrorism, and them poisoning our water. But on a local level, we have security, we have SCADA, we have intrusion alarms, we have voice down cameras, that helps. But as far as state projects, aqueducts and everything, I think they pretty much have a pretty good system for, you have to have an identification, there's a certain protocol to even get on their property, but as you know, there's a lot of aqueduct that could possibly, be damaged with some kind of terrorism. But they were asking about that. Customers were concerned about that. So that was part of the discussion with Senator Ochoa Book. And then I did attend the County Riverside meeting. Now this one was a separate meeting from the MAC meeting. This was a meeting with one of the staff members of Supervisor Gutierrez and Victor Diaz. And he's still trying to have a game plan to develop the property on Bonita and Elm, the 792 lots. But unfortunately, he is still at the same point that he's been at for quite a while. So I gave him a little bit more direction that he needed to have a set of engineer drawings, standard drawings with front-end legal documents that he can submit to the county for grant funding purposes. So hopefully that'll help him move his project along. I think he was trying to get everything rezoned because it has issues of the flooding on the north side of Bonita. But he's still got a long ways to go, because once you do get those front-end documents, of course, there's cost involved. And I did explain to him that it's going to require 3,000 feet of pipe from the Bonita, where that red house is, to Elm. That's 3,000 feet. And then the drawings, the approval process, and permitting. So he does have a long ways to go, and then grant funding, that could take a couple of years.
And that doesn't count all the pipe going
That's only one main. That's not the branch mains going, mm-hmm. not all the other ones. So he still has a lot of work to do. And you also requested information about our property at 50100 Main Street. That's where the warehouses are stored. And we put that up for sale. And we purchased that property in 2016. The only thing that was listed was when it was purchased for $200,000 in 2006. But I found an agreement that said we purchased that for $65,000 in 2016. So that's where that's at. Got a couple nibbles, but no formal offers yet. And then on February 5th, the Capitals on Water just received the Capitals Facilities check. And I mentioned that earlier with the Finance Committee meeting. In the amount of $13,384 for a new service installation at 48803 Taos. And that's over there behind the off Seminole Drive, kind of where the old Hadlings building is, which is going to be the new Chick-fil-A. So we did install a service over there.
The old building, the old Hadling building.
Yeah, the old Hadling buildings. Yeah, so that's been going on for a couple of years now. So they've done some engineering studies. They've dug and potholed all the utilities. So they had some permitting issues they had to deal with Riverside County. So that's been resolved, and they're going to be moving forward with that very soon. Okay. And the last item I have on here is because we've had a lot of utility theft, stealing from fire hydrants. In fact, today they stole one fire hydrant and they were attempting to steal another. Right. Yeah, before they were just stealing the water from the fire hydrants, but now they're stealing the hydrants. So, when you go online, we've purchased hydrant locks before. Just a standard hydrant lock is just a barrel lock with tabs on it. You put a lock on it, it locks the stem so you can't operate it. So the standard locking mechanism is approximately $200, and then another lock is, so you're looking at $250. Or if you want a Knox lock that goes on the front that only a water department or a fire department can get into, that's a special key, those are $600. So a hydrant lock ranges from $200 to $600. And because we've had a lot of utility theft, that would be quite a cost for our operations. So we do have a talented gentleman here that works for us. He's one of our operators. He got him, did a drawing, and he came up with this hydrant lock, which is basically tamper-proof. And with all the material, not including his time, it's about $25 for each one.
You got to make them, you got to weld them and everything, but I'm going to help you.
Yep, yeah, he engineered yeah. There's a little device on there with it's a little barrel lock.
I see it, okay.
Yeah. So he's already manufactured a couple of those, so it's saving the district money, and basically I told him, I says, some kind of patent or whatever it is, a trademark, it's a pretty good device.
So does that just lock the bonnet?
It goes on top where you operate the nut.
Yeah, on the bottom.
Yeah, on top. And that little device is like a little, it's a little clamp that goes on there,
on the stem, and then the shell goes over the nut. So it pulls, and you
can... still unbolt the hydrant and walk away with it.
Pretty much.
And just have extra seal with it.
But that's all I have. But the meeting, the infrastructure meeting, was with Senator Ochoa Boak. There was a lot of lead managers, and they talked about state projects. You know, the state project needs and requirements and everything like that. So it was very helpful. So hopefully she can move things along and make grant funding more accessible to smaller water companies, because with the new treatment requirements. Right now, we currently only use sodium hypochlorite for treatment, but for the new forever chemical, the PFAS and everything that's coming, they're trying to figure out what treatment device is going to be the most cost effective. But unfortunately, that's going to be another operations expense. Other than that, do we bring up the voting measure now, or...
If they want to move it forward, it's kind of, it's a little later in the meeting. So
okay, oh, we can wait.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, wait.
When is it actually? Is it next? I have the old agenda right here.
No, it's after the new business, after old business, new business.
Okay.
But yeah, if they wanted to move it up right now, you guys can do that.
Terry, your call. You're the...
Thank you for your report. Is anybody in a hurry to get through this?
No.
Doesn't matter to me. I'm easy.
Okay.
All right, let's go to old business. Discussion and updates with SGPWA directors. Director. Good evening.
Hello. Could be here with you tonight. Kevin wanted to come, but he got caught up. He's out with fire chiefs and trying to work on the one of the items you're going to be talking on here, the helipad thing. So we were supposed to go to the same meeting in Palm Springs, but he's going to show up late. But just to bring you kind of up to date on what's been going on, we've kind of started off going crazy all of a sudden again. Last Friday, we dedicated, or actually did the groundbreaking for the Cherry Valley pump station, the new ones that are being put in there for the spreading ponds. So that was a big thing. We had a number of dignitaries there from all over, and the Department of Water Resources came with a check for. $100 and some odd million, so 102, I think. So it's pretty cool. They're actually there's a line that's already there. There's an old line that wasn't being used by anybody, so we're renovating it, cleaning it out and renovating it. Now we're going to tee off of that to the facility. But they'll start building it. They're just doing all the preliminary stuff right now to get it going. But it was a really nice groundbreaking ceremony. Had nice gold shovels and one nice silver shovel for the Department of Water Resources. She stood in the middle and did the groundbreaking. Lance spoke. Heather Dyer spoke. They're from San Bruno Valley Water District. We're partnering with Cherry Valley Water District on getting that going. So we bought the property and then deeded part of it to them, and then we're keeping part of it for spreading ponds for ourselves, so we can continue to bring stuff in from the state water project. It makes it a little bit shorter and a little more direct bringing it in. And then on Friday we had a joint meeting with San Bernardino Valley Water District and San Antonio Pass Water Agency, and it was a milestone in the history of California. because we're the first ones that approved to go online with Delta Conveyance and approved the payment structure that we have to do over the next few years with them. Between us and Valley, it's about $19 million to start, just to get started. But it's an incredibly expensive process because it's coming all the way from Northern California all the way down here. It's a project that's been worked on for probably two to three decades. Used to be the Twin Tunnels under Governor Brown. And then when Governor Newsom took over, he decided to make it just one tunnel. And he's actually pushed really hard on that, between that and Sites Reservoir. Sites Reservoir has gone through all of the preliminary stuff, got the approvals. Now they just need to get their ducks in a row and get moving on that. And we're actually heavily involved in that and heavily invested in that too. We did receive at that meeting on Friday an update of all the things that we've done for the last year. And I was amazed. I mean, I was amazed at what Lance accomplished in 1 year's time and all the things that he got done. You can get a copy of it if you want for your board from Lance over there. It'd be a good idea because it's a nice color project, and it shows everything that was done. So it'd be really cool. I don't know if there's anything else. Do you have any questions for me on anything? Okay. And if we can, I'd love to do the tour. Maybe we can grab Kevin and maybe one or two other guys, and we'll just go, and we can jump in a car and go and take a look at it. So it'd be great. But thank you.
Thank you.
And I'm gonna, if you don't mind, I'm gonna hang around for that item there, in case you have any questions on the helipad. I'll try and answer what I know about it. I'll hang around for that, and then I'm gonna excuse myself after that.
Okay. Item 2, discuss upcoming field trip with GM and Board of Directors.
We're all good on Thursday at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, we kind of jumped ahead on that one, didn't we?
Yeah.
Okay. Community involvement.
We did purchase some items for the Valentine's Day event at the community center, so we did make some purchases and donated some a bag of variety of gifts.
Do you have anything in the plans coming up?
They'll probably have an Easter thing, so we can go ask them about that.
Yeah,
if they need anything.
Yeah, we stay in contact with flyers. Mm-hmm. They'll send us the flyers, and then Evelyn and Caitlin, they usually do a little shopping over at
Five Below.
Five Below is their favorite spot to go. They have everything over there.
Yeah, we're like, oh my gosh, it's so cool. Everything's so cheap.
It's like Toys R Us.
Okay, let's move on to new business. Installation of the heli hydrant for helicopters at Well 1 and Well 2. Well 1 and 3.
Well one, tank one, and they also met with me today because they'd like a second facility, and that was at tank three. So at tank three, it's up on the Jensen area, we have a tank with a fenced area. So inside the fenced area is a little restricted, so now we have to get permission just outside of our property. There's a little flatbed. It could be either the county or it could be the Morongo Band of Mission Indians that own that property. So once we get that established, Supervisor Gutierrez can help that move that along. The Tank 1, Well 1 site is very large. It can accommodate that. And also we're going to have enough room left over for future growth because we're going to put another reservoir to accommodate the growth that's coming this way, a 10-year plan. So there is a set of plans, not on here. Basically, it's a tank that's 5 feet in height, 15 feet in diameter. It attaches for a water main. Everything is underneath ground. It's solenoid operated, so it has a solenoid operated device that can have a radio call from the helicopter to turn it on to fill the reservoir because it's going to be dry when it's not in use. So it's important to have one on the north side of the freeway,
and the south side of the freeway,
because you cannot fly over the freeway with a loaded bucket. So any fires on that side of town up in the foothills towards the Morongo Band of Mission Indians, we can use that, so that's established. And anything on the foothills or the area in the Jensen area,
you can... So you said a loaded bucket, but they're using a hose.
Yeah, it's more, there's like a reservoir with no roof on it that
okay.
they're going to install. And then the helicopter would fly over, send a solenoid-operated signal to fill the reservoir, and then they would snorkel down. So we have a little presentation that they sent us, so you can actually see how it all goes down.
There's no sound.
Do you need the lights off? Can you see better? Or can you see that okay?
I see.
Okay. Boom.
It's so cool they can be that precise with the big ol'.
Yeah.
So you're saying they can't fly across the freeway with that hose hanging down?
With a tank of water. From what they said, they can't fly over with a load.
The reason being is they sometimes have a tendency to miss the target, and going over the freeway, if they have potentially dropped the amount of water out of that tank, and you saw how fast they filled. I mean, it's just really quick, but it fills up that whole chopper. If they drop that on the freeway on cars or something, then you got a major problem. So they just put a restriction on it and said put one on each side. Now, Mike, you mentioned number three, but Kevin told me to tell you number two. Is there a difference between the two?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, he said that...
It's the second site.
Okay,
it's the second site is tank three.
Yeah, looks like you're going to approve both. I don't know, you know the price on it, right?
Yeah, it's $250,000 each, grant funded. They asked us $250,000 each.
$350,000
okay, yeah.
is what it is now. So
okay.
But that's coming out of ARPA funds, out of the county. So there's no cost to you. In other words, other than
any
plumbing or anything like that,
No, they said everything was going to be absorbed by the grant funding. And basically, because they were going to tie into our main, and then we can basically monitor the usage, so we're going to put in a meter, and that would be absorbed into the grant fund, because those meters are about $6,000. So you drop one of those in, so when they fight a major fire, it goes on for days, then we can, do a beginning read and an end read, and then send the Cal Fire an invoice for the water usage.
The nice thing about it is it fills up in no time at all, and the helicopters can just come through as fast as they can come through, grab water and go and dump. And so putting out a fire is going to be much more effective having those tanks in place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because now they're flying to Banning, they're flying down to Whitewater.
Yeah.
For this area.
Right.
And they have 17 sites identified, but Tank 1 is the number one site they're pursuing.
It seems like Cabazon is going to be the guinea pig again on
sure.
this farm.
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. We'll get it done.
Number one done, and then moving on from there. So we're excited for you guys. I mean, you've had a lot of good things going on this last year, so.
And it's an easy installation. There's no groundwork that needs to be done. There's no, you don't need to do any earth moving or anything like that. It's ready to accommodate the site.
Very quick installation, yeah.
Yeah.
So
they're doing everything.
Yeah. So yeah, it's all grant funded. I met the contractor. I met the fire chief or the fire captain, and of course Kevin showed up from San Gregorio Pass. So I just wanted to give you the information so we can all decide. To accommodate the request.
Okay.
This is kind of Kevin's baby. Kevin used to be a fire captain for the fire department, Cal Fire. So he's really excited about this prospect of this getting off the ground and happening. I'm excited too because I live up on the hill there, and you know, we're always, when the fire comes through there, we're always, it comes through pretty fast. So this will be nice to be able to knock down the fire moving forward.
So there is no cost to the district. The only thing, it's going to take up very little space. Like I said, it's 15 feet in diameter, 5 feet tall. All the piping will be underground. There is a small drain that, you know, when they're leaving, you know, after the fires are completed, then it has a small drain. So other than that, just natural drainage.
And it's good. So do we have to make a motion on this?
Yes.
Anybody?
Yeah. I make a motion to accept installation of the hydrant for the helicopter at well one site and possibly tank three.
Yeah, I would just say,
and also tank three.
Both sites.
I'll second it. Okay. Motion to approve the installation of the helihydrant at both sites, made by Director Davis, second by Director Brock. Director Carlin?
Aye.
Director Brock?
Aye.
Director Davis?
Aye.
And Director Tincher?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ron.
Bye.
Have a great time.
Okay, public comments?
No, I got answered.
Okay, good. General manager or board comments?
Other than accommodating the request, it just adds value to our district, you know, to be able to help fight fires.
Well, we all know how fires are around here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And with
some of us more than others.
And with customers running over our standpipes and stealing our hydrants, their resources are limited to fight fires.
And our little 4-inch heads.
Yeah, yeah. Good investment, and then no cost to the district.
Okay, future agenda items.
Other than the tour meeting.
I don't think we have anything else, do we? Do we need anything else? And nobody has any comments? All right, let's talk about the future board items, next board meeting dates. First is February 22nd, Thursday, that's the tour. And then February 26th, Monday, the St. Joanne Task Water Agency at 6 p.m. You know, I didn't notice on here, did we have any meetings anybody went to?
Yeah, Taffy and I went to the thing.
It's called the SGPRWAC meeting.
Yes, that's right.
I
have that on the 24th of January.
I guess if there was anything important, you could share it in the board comments, the board member comments. Because I didn't put that on the agenda.
So let's go back. Do we have any board member comments?
For me, it was really informative. I think that it was, for being new to figuring out what's going on and terminology and all that, so it was really neat to get to.
Because they had a presentation from ACWA, a gentleman by the name of Nick Blair, that spoke on chromium and...
Oh yeah,
everything.
They went over a whole bunch of stuff, but everything. For me, it was really helpful and informative to see where everybody is at and where their ideas are, and so I do appreciate being able to attend that. So thank you. But yes, they were talking about compliance levels and the different parts per billion, and all of that new infrastructure that will have to be put in accommodate that and where that funding is going to come from and things like that. That was discussed. There's money sitting in the state.
Right. To meet all the water quality standards through the treatment process.
Trying to come up with what the level should be, too. And then conservation and the costs of different tiers and all that. And then it was brought up that, you know, the conservation is more, has been more of a cost to the agencies than it has been a
help.
A help because of there's not a consensus on agreement in the different areas. So as far as the levels, the infrastructure, all that stuff, the cost.
Yeah, because then they were talking again about the electric vehicles and what the cost from having to do like the Chromium 6 and getting it down to what's acceptable, and then the drought stuff and the electric vehicles, about how everybody is just overrun with money needs.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, and where is it supposed to come from? But the state just kind of
sure.
Says, well, you got to take care of it though, and by these dates. And so everybody just kind of, because like Art Bailett talked about, because I guess they have a set date when they have to have at least part of their vehicles switched over to electric. Plus, they're working on, you know, the Chromium 6. And all that, and they're just overrun with the cost.
Yep.
And
so that was a big part of all of that, was pretty much compliance with cost and conservation and which installation of equipment is going to work best then for filtration and to make the compliance work. And what is that going to be? And they talked about
and she was impressed how fast Lance can speak. She's all, does he always speak this fast?
he's good at it, too.
Specifically said they had some good projects and things going on in coordination with the other water districts that buying their water and you know, their from seeding the clouds and buying and selling water and all of that they've been doing pretty well on that.
Right, groundwater storage and everything, yeah.
So, and that was kind of it.
Cool.
One thing I will say, when I met with the senator during that discussion, there was water infrastructure, and then later at the end there was a lady that came from, she was some high up from Caltrans, who has been a mayor and everything like that. So she was talking about future infrastructure needs as far as transportation and the 10 freeway. And just for one example, when they were going to expand the 79, this project was on the books, voted to get approved for a grant-funded project, and completed the environmental impact study and everything like that. Now it's going to go to the construction phase, which had to be approved in 2023. So all these supervisors, some of them said no, because it doesn't meet today's standards. And she went and she had to have a discussion with them saying it met the standards in 2017. So if you deny it that now, and we have to go through the whole process again, and this thing is going to go to 2026, is it going to meet 2026 standards? So basically she convinced that, no, it was met at that time, so we're going to go through with this project. So that's how a lot of projects get stalled. You know, and as far as the 10 expansion, and there's going to be a railway that's going to come from Los Angeles to Coachella, not for commuters, only for tourists, because it's only going to run a few trains, not like every hour on the hour for commuters. It's going to be like...
It's for like the festivals.
Right. Yeah, to limit or to have less dependency on the 10 freeway. That way you can load up everybody in the trains and come this way. So
I hope it works.
Yeah, so they're talking about that. But of course, you know, you got the environmental impacts environmental impact study to do, to complete, and everything like that, and then the funding. And every year you put something off, it's double, you know. So it's going to start out at $100 million, and it's going to go to, you know, like, what was it, Governor Jerry Brown's speed bullet train from south to north and everything. Just kept expanding in price. So the same thing here, and her observation was it's a challenge to keep up with the traffic demands, because I think she said in her area there had to be like 187,000 houses built in San Bernardino, Riverside County over the next 10 years. And to have the freeways to accommodate that and the off-ramps to accommodate that is a challenge.
Well, Beaumont's a perfect example.
Right.
They built it way too fast, and there's no infrastructure.
Right. I mean, where I live, you know, there's a bunch of communities that are being built over there, and it's still just
gridlock.
One lane each way on each off-ramp. So it is a challenge. So
and they're talking about how great Pennsylvania is now. Well, that didn't do shit. Excuse my French. I mean, it helps.
There's a nice median in the middle now.
Yeah.
But there's no on-ramps. Get on the freeway.
Right. Well, with all the growth that's coming as far as housing, and I've had calls to let me know that Cabazon Water District is the next growth phase. And what can we accommodate, you know, as far as growth? And, you know, their 10-year plan, which their 10-year plan is a lot for Cabazon to handle. So there's going to have to be infrastructure improvements with our water facilities.
Well, just think back 10 years ago for Banning and Beaumont.
Yeah.
What did they put in? 20,000, 25,000 houses? Easy. In 10 years.
Yeah. But they're talking, you know, San Bernardino, Riverside County, so Coachella, all over. I think they mentioned that there was a number that was thrown on. I think it was 187,000 houses.
Yeah, and then they're putting in all these warehouses to
yeah.
business.
Yeah.
Enough depressing talk.
Okay. Well, that's just a discussion that came up during the senator's meeting.
All right, back to the future board items. 3-4. San Bernardino Pass Water Agency meeting at 1:30 p.m. 3:18, San Bernardino Pass Water Agency meeting at 6 p.m. 3:19, Finance Audit Committee meeting at 5. 3:19, the regular board meeting at 6. 3:27, we have another San Bernardino Pass Water Agency at 5. And their times are all over the place, aren't they?
That one's the other one, the Regional Water Alliance.
Oh, the Regional Water Alliance.
Yeah.
And then on May 9th, we have the West Desert MAC meeting at 6 at the Community Center. And then to be determined, the Community Action Committee and Personnel Committee. Can I get a motion to adjourn this?
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
All right. Motion. Oh, wait. Let me second. Sorry.
Second that motion?
Yeah.
Well done.
Motion to adjourn at 6:42, made by Director Davis, second by Director Carlin. Director Carlin?
Aye.
Director Brock?
Aye.
Director Davis?
Aye.
And Director Tincher?
Aye.
The meeting adjourned at 6:42.
Thank you, Evelyn.